Hello there, and welcome back, everyone. I am Lizzie, your Millennial Movie Matchmaker. And today I have my first ever guest, Chris. He runs the Insta account Movies on the Regular, and he has his own podcast coming out soon. Chris, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me, Lizzie.
Thanks for being here. So for everyone listening, Chris and I actually met up once to attempt to have a podcast together, or an episode, I should say. And so luckily, you know, unfortunately that episode didn't work out, but luckily I actually got to know a little bit about you, Chris. So I'm going to try to work from memory here. Your favorite movie is Back to the Future, and your guilty pleasure movie is Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which I decided I was not going to hold against you. And
thank you.
I cannot remember for the life of me what your least favorite movie was.
I believe my least favorite movie was, I think it was Scrooged.
Yeah.
It did nothing for me. And I'm a Bill Murray fan. I swear I am. I love Bill Murray. But in my friend group, I told them about that. And I also am not a huge fan of Groundhog Day. I don't hate it, but people believe it's the most amazing movie ever. And I'm like, yeah, it's okay. And I have been borderline shunned from my group of friends because whenever I say I like a movie, they're like, oh, you like that, but you're kind of hard to believe because you don't like Groundhog Day. I'm like, it's not that I don't like it. It's not like a top 10 movie to me.
Oh my gosh. I can give you Scrooged, but Groundhog Day is that's like Bill Murray at his finest. I mean, what is a Bill Murray movie that you like then, since you said you are a Bill Murray fan?
Hey, okay, so maybe I like the idea of Bill Murray because I feel like when I think of Bill Murray, I feel like I don't think of him in his major films. I just think of him like, oh yeah, he was hilarious in like Space Jam or Ghostbusters or something like that. Like I think he's great, but those two movies, I agree, that's like him, that's his movie, and I'm just like, yeah, okay.
I like his brand because you can tell he's so dry, almost to the point of being a prick, and but it works for him because you can tell that he's a prick with a heart of gold underneath that. But I actually grew up watching Groundhog Day, so I am a little biased. Like Andy McDowell, his love interest in the movie, like that is like, I guarantee you, I highly doubt my parents have one, but like, if I were to go to each of my parents and make them like write down their hall passes, like in, you know, like the episode of Friends where they each like make one and like Ross laminates it, I guarantee you that at the absolute tippy top, Andy McDowell would be on my dad's list. Like he is so, he loves her. And, She's just so charming. And I love that movie. I absolutely love that movie. But if you don't like Scrooged, I get why you wouldn't like it. Cause when you really break it down, they're more or less the same. There's just no like ghost of Christmas past in Groundhog Day, just like the repeating of the holiday itself. So I do get it. I understand. Well,
thank you. I'm glad I'm not shunned from you then, because my other friends, they're not buying it.
If you tell me that you like Lady in the Water, then I don't think we can ever record again.
You're safe there.
Just to piss me off after I went on a rant on a previous episode, one of my friends was like, Lady in the Water is a classic. And I had to like step back and be like, are you trying to piss me off? Because if so, I don't think I should give you what you want. But I'm still pissed.
You're trying to piss me off. It is working. Now get out of here.
Yeah. I like to think that I'm like not one of those obnoxious people, you know, that live on Facebook that are like, this is my idea. And if you disagree, you suck. But I'm kind of realizing like in my, like, I can be really understanding and forgiving, but sometimes there is a line in the sand, and Lady in the Water is that for me. That's the line.
I'd be mad at that.
All right. So let's go ahead and roll on. So today we are going to be talking about the Golden Globes. We're going to stick to the film portion because of course this is a movie podcast. So we are going to just skip over all of the television pieces, but first, Chris, what did you think about the Golden Globes this year? Obviously, it was really different, but what was your take?
Not to get too political, but like here in Michigan, I think that it feels sometimes split at what COVID is right now. I think we all take in what it has been, but like I think right now, as of March, February, you see a lot of people attempting to get back to normal, and watching this was like the slap, and not that I feel that way, but watching this was like the slap in the face that, yeah, you know, things aren't back to normal. It's not really close, at least. So I thought it was cool seeing people at their homes. I thought it was like kind of funny at times. One moment that stuck out to me was Regina King, when she was in her dress, she's talking, and like she had her camera where it was like almost full body. You could see her like, you know, head to toe, which is great. Had like an amazing dress. She looked gorgeous. It was great. And you see like her dog walking in the background.
Your dog was sleeping in this bed.
Right? I thought that was hilarious. I relate more to celebrities in that aspect than I ever will on a red carpet. Another thing about me, I am the least fancy, no stuck up kind of person ever. I will be the person who's always looking for a deal. I could be a millionaire tomorrow. I'll still, you know, stick to my cheap ways. So when I see people on the red carpet and they're like, oh, what are you wearing? What do you do? All this and all this stuff. Like, I generally skip that because I don't know any of those designers. I generally don't care. But like seeing them kind of just being a lot more casual, I enjoyed that aspect of it. I thought it was really cool. So overall, I enjoyed it. Usually, you know, award shows are a little hit or miss with me. I thought this was pretty cool.
Yeah, I can agree. I actually think seeing like Jodie Foster and was like in her PJs, and Jason Sudeikis was in the tie-dyed sweatshirt. It was like, it was definitely really cool. I mean, you definitely had some people that still went really over the top, but I agree. I mean, seeing people in their homes, I mean, it was super different, but it was also kind of a reassuring reminder that like, really everybody is going through this. Like, it's not just affecting the working class, you know, it's something that's really being experienced by people of, you know, because COVID doesn't discriminate, you know, so it's pretty interesting in that way. But I think I used to invest so much in award shows. Like, I remember I would watch every single thing that was nominated, and I would feel so passionately about what I would want to win. And I would look forward. To seeing, not so much about the designer pieces, but I just loved seeing just the beautiful clothes and just seeing what everybody would come out with. I loved the whole process. But I think as I've gotten older, you really do see kind of how, and I don't want to go there too much, but you can definitely see that it's kind of a political popularity contest in a lot of ways. And I think that does dull a little bit of the shine. I don't look at award shows really with rose colored glasses anymore. So I think it's hard to get too excited kind of at all, but mm-hmm. I did appreciate this year because it felt a lot more real. And, you know, with all of their technical glitches and everything, it was kind of funny to just like watch everybody go through it. I think Amy Poehler and Tina Fey did a great job. What did you think about them?
I feel like they've done so much together that I just know what to expect from them. So it was pretty much spot on. I think they're funny. I think together they are great when it comes to hosting things. I actually kind of like the two person, you know, going back and forth, or, you know, kind of bounce things off of each other, host format, if you will. And it starts with them. I think they are, you know, great at it. You can tell, at least it feels that like they're friends and that they are just kind of going back and forth. So I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, I did too. I love them together. I think that they are dynamite. I think there's been some questionable hosts in the past. I mean, they've done this quite a lot together hosting the award. So I feel like it just works. They should just let them do it every year because it always feels like they aren't afraid to poke fun at celebrities, but they do it in a way that like, it's like Ricky Gervais, for example, like that whole Golden Globes last year was just like a massive middle finger to Hollywood. Like, he was literally like, fuck all of you and I don't care. And and while it's funny, it, you know, you can also like sense the bitterness. So I appreciate Amy and Tina for the fact that they can bring it while still being light and fluffy.
Exactly. I agree.
All right. So let's roll in to our nominees. So I will go ahead and read off. I'm trying to decide, and I'll let you decide as my guest. Do you want to start big and go ahead and go motion picture, or do you want to start small and work our way up and let that be our finale?
Let's start small. Let's do All Rise, as
got it,
as Barney would say in How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. I've never seen that show. Can you believe that? That might be what gets me excommunicated.
No, it won't. When I was in college, I used to make fun of my friends who watched that show. And then when I graduated, it slowly became another guilty pleasure. And then I got laid off from work and I would give myself 2 hours of television time. And that was on those 2 hours. Awesome. So I quickly watched the whole season and it grows on you. But yeah, you're not excommunicated for that.
All right. So best actress in a motion picture drama. So we have Viola Davis, in Mulaney's Black Bottom, Audra Day in The United States versus Billie Holiday, Vanessa Kirby, Pieces of a Woman, Frances McDormand, Nomadland, and Carey Mulligan for Promising Young Woman. And Audra Day took the cake with The United States of Billie Holiday, or United States versus Billie Holiday, I have to admit, I didn't see this. I tried so hard. I honestly tried to focus as much as I could on the best, like the big guy of like the best musical comedy, best drama. So a lot of these smaller categories, I actually did not get a chance to see. So I have to say that my opinion is not very valid in this category.
Fair. I didn't see it either. And I actually look forward to seeing this. I had it marked on my calendar. And I'm similar to you. Like I feel so bad saying it. I didn't know of her before this, and this movie didn't get a ton of promotion. I'm a big fan of Tyler James Williams, who is in this movie. I don't know if you know him. He's the guy who played he was Chris in the TV show Everybody Hates Chris.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's in this movie. I follow him on Instagram. So he's been promoting, of course. And I'm really interested in this movie. Whenever it comes to, you know, movies about people by any kind of doc or historical movie, I'm usually leaning towards the movies where I don't know much about it because I want to be educated. And I know of Billie Holiday, but I don't know a lot of detail about her. So I was like, wow, this would be great. And kind of the same thing. I remember thinking like, man, all right, I want to see as many of these Golden Globe movies before the Golden Globes. I don't know if that's going to get the respect it deserves, even if it's really good. I don't know if it'll be good or not, but even if it's good, I don't know if it's going to get the respect it deserves. Let me watch some of these other ones so I can like, oh yeah, she definitely deserves it or doesn't. So yeah, I'm sorry. I'm the same way. I didn't catch this. I'm totally going to watch it this week, but yeah. I did not get a chance to watch it, but I loved her reaction. Like it seemed so authentic. I love that she had like the cast behind her and everything. It was really cool. I will say I am on record for saying that if Viola Davis does not get some hardware for My Rainey's Black Bottom, that I was going to be very upset. I'm kind of upset. I'm pretty upset because I still think she deserves it. But after watching Promising Young Woman and Nomadland, I think that they were all in the conversation together. This category was stacked. I didn't see Pieces of a Woman, but if everyone else is, you know, if that's any indication of how good you know, Vanessa Kirby was, then she's probably great too. So this was a toss-up, and I'm glad that they got her shot. I don't know much about her. I don't know any of her previous work, so I'm assuming this is her first Golden Globe, also based on her reaction. So I'm glad that she got it. But yeah, this was a very, very deserving set of actresses.
Oh, I absolutely agree. All right, so let's move on to Best Actor. So we have, this is for a motion picture drama. We have Chadwick Boseman, Mulaney's Black Bottom, Riz Ahmed for The Sound of Metal, Anthony Hopkins, The Father, Gary Oldman, Mank, and I am going to try my best to pronounce this properly, Tahar Rahman. I'm not going to even try to
hold on. I wish I could help you. I can't.
Let's try this. The Mauritanian.
Mauritanian?
The what?
Mauritanian? The Mauritanian?
That's it.
That's my guess. That's not me correcting you. That's me guessing.
You know what? I'm not a whiz at my pronunciation. That's just, you know, you can't have it all.
I'm using that whenever I'm wrong. I'm gonna say, can't have it all, man. What do you want me to do?
I have this stunning, stunning beauty with my greasy hair and this sparkly personality and all of the brains. You know, it's just
wouldn't be fair. It would just spread it out to some other people.
That's exactly right. I will say, Chadwick Boseman is. I really look up to him. I talked about him on a previous podcast, just even prior to his untimely passing. I really admired him so much. Like I felt like I talked about how when he won, I think it was an MTV award for Black Panther, and he went up there and it was like his opportunity to like have his moment and do what he wanted and say what he wanted and, you know, be the badass that everybody was expecting of him. And instead he dedicated his award to a man who had disarmed a gunman in a Waffle House in Tennessee. And he was like, you know, you're the real hero. And I absolutely adored him. And then especially now, like posthumously, like so much has been coming out of the woodwork of all the amazing works that he did that went completely not unnoticed, because it certainly was noticed, but just, you know, he didn't do it to be boisterous. He did it because it was important to him. And just, I can't say enough wonderful things about him. So I'm really happy that he won. I could only watch his wife's acceptance speech once, because I cried just watching it the one time, and I couldn't imagine watching it again, but I agree with everything she said. I think that he would have given probably a very inspirational speech and thanked his family and his ancestors and said something, you know, very poignant about pressing on. And so I'm very happy that he won.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with everything you said. I have at one point, I remember, you know, watching, I don't remember which movie it was, but he, you know, was practically every Black historical figure in their, you know, documentary or historical movie. He had done so many of them. And I think it may have been when it was announced that he was going to be Jackie Robinson. I believe it was that one. At that point, he had done some other ones. I'm like, man, like this guy's getting all the roles. And I knew him and was a fan of him. But I remember thinking like, man, is that fair that he gets all these roles? And then he does Jackie Robinson. He does it amazingly. And I'm like, Yeah, I guess that's the reason why he gets all these roles, because he's that good. And the untimely passing for him, it hurt so much. And watching this, him being nominated and then watching the ceremony makes it almost worse, because it's like, man, this guy had so much more to give. And it sucks that, you know, selfishly as a fan, all I'm thinking about is like, man, what other movies could he have done? What would have Black Panther 2 been with him? Or what other movies would he have done that would have wowed us? But I'm really happy he won. I agree with you. I had no intentions of watching his wife's speech again. I think I actually had got up to use the restroom right before that. And I come back and I'm watching it, and I was like, wow, that was... Like, I was holding back tears. I'm not an overly emotional person, but I was really holding back tears when I was watching that. And this category, I thought also was, I don't know if I kind of predicted that he'd get it, because I thought that he was really good. I didn't see The Father, because I don't even know if it's out yet, at least not in my area. And the Minotaurian, I hadn't even heard of. So I remember thinking Riz Ahmed would have a good shot at it, but I remember thinking like, yeah, he'll have a shot, but Chadwick Boseman is definitely favored for this. So
yeah,
if I'm a gambling person, if I was going to gamble on any category, this was going to be the one, because I thought that, you know, he was pretty set for his performance in this film.
Oh, he was so good. He's the GOAT. He's really, I think he's like the second actor that I can think of, because I'm the opposite. So you say you're not very emotional. I am the exact opposite. So if I'm like on a scale of 1 to 10, like 1 is like, I'm in the depths of despair, I'm so upset. And 10 is like, I am so filled with joy, I can't take it. If I'm not at like a 5 or a 6, then I'm crying. Like that's
a great way of describing that.
I am either crying tears of excitement and joy, or I'm crying because I'm sad. Like there's even like a running joke with some of my friends. I have like a crying quota that I have to hit. Like I'm very, very emotional, but I don't get that upset about celebrities passing. Cause like, I don't typically form like a huge connection with them, but I was very, very upset. I think the only other actor I can really think of that really broke my heart was Robin Williams. I think I was very, very torn up about him, but I was pretty close with Chadwick. So I'm glad you won this. I really am. All right. So let's move on to best animated movie. So we have The Croods and New Age, Onward, Over the Moon, Soul, and Wolf Walkers. Now Soul took this one. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it was a landslide. I think every person that watched these animated films, which I don't think a lot of people, if I had to guess, I'm not going to generalize, but if I had to guess, especially in my network of friends, they're just not into animated films like that. So I know Soul was the exception. I know Soul was like the, wow, you know, this is going to be different. This looks inspiring. This looks really cool. I mean, it's Pixar. Pixar is the GOAT. Pixar just puts out amazing content all the time. So yeah, I think that a lot of people, you know, if they watch any of these, Soul was the one. And not only was it one of the only ones that people watched, it was just that good. I watched it. And I wasn't ecstatic about the film. Maybe we can talk about that later. But I'm sorry, I wasn't ecstatic about the ending of the film. But the overall film, like I felt that as a moviegoer, as a person who likes Pixar, as an African-American, I loved it on many, many levels. And I kind of expected that. Like I said, it was Pixar. I knew they were taking a different approach and it seemed like I was going to be really into it. I love Jamie Foxx. So this was really theirs to lose. Again, you know, next to the last category, this was another one where I'm like, yeah, this is going to be an easy sell. The only reason I didn't give this one the stamp was because I didn't see Croods A New Age, so I couldn't say how good that was or wasn't, but I do remember seeing and hearing about it, so I thought maybe it had a shot. If I had to pick a second place, though, it'd have to be Onward. I think Onward was a really, really good movie. Again, Disney, Pixar, they don't miss. And I watched Wolf Walkers a couple of days before the Golden Globes, and I enjoyed that. I loved the visually; I thought it was beautiful. But just yeah, between those two, Onward and Soul, it was a 1-2 hit, and Soul was clearly number one.
I actually think that I would have chosen Onward if I'm being totally honest, just because I loved Onward. I know I did like Soul for sure, but I think when I think about Pixar, I always think about a family friendly movie. And I guess for me, I actually did really enjoy Soul, but I think that Soul, my only issue with the movie, and I'll try to make it brief so that we're not diving too far into one category. But I think with Soul, it was like, it felt like it couldn't find its footing between being in a movie for adults and a movie for children, because, you know, it deals with some really heavy topics that even if you're prepared to have a discussion about death and dying with your children, you're going deeper into that and talking about like the afterlife. And those are just concepts that are too large for little brains to understand. For me, that was my hang up with it, because I remember watching the movie with my son, and like when Jamie Foxx's character like falls through that hole, he was like, he dies? He's dead. He's dead. And like, and I was like, thanks.
We got it.
Yes, honey, he's dead. And it was hard to explain to him. So I think that was maybe that just gave me a biased opinion. But I think the overall message of like really actually like giving your life, you know, sustenance was really lovely. But I loved Onward. I think that just kind of the idea of like family is whatever you make it, I loved. And I loved how they were able to do it so uniquely.
Okay, before you move on, real quick, what's your favorite Pixar movie?
Oh God. Okay. So I do a podcast about this. I had a podcast that my top, I mean, it's definitely Toy Story, but I'm torn between 1, 2, and 3. I didn't care so much for 4. 4 was fine, but I it's probably a tie for me between Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 3. I think they're so good. I could talk about it all day. What about you? What are yours?
I was going to say probably one of the Toy Stories. I'm right there with you. I think that, I don't know. I watch Toy Story 1 to this day, and you can't make me believe that movie didn't come out a couple years ago. The idea that it came out in the 90s is crazy. It doesn't get better than that. Usually I throw Up in there too, because it's just, I don't know, it's good. It's just good. That's all I have to say. So good.
All right, so we have got best screenplay. And so we've got Emerald Fennell for Promising Young Woman, Jack Fincher for Mank, Aaron Sorkin, The Trial of Chicago 7, Florian Zeller, and Christopher Hampton for The Father, and Chloe Zhao for Nomadland. And Aaron Sorkin took the cake with The Trial of the Chicago 7. Now, I see you shaking your head a little bit. Did you not like the movie?
I loved it. And this is another like stacked category. And I remember when this was like the one decision when I saw it, I was like, okay. That's fine. Again, it's a stacked category, but I think I had Trial of the Chicago 7 like either last or like near last. So when it came up as that, it was like, oh, like again, just like, a, wow. Okay. That's the direction we're going in. That's again, not that it was bad, just that I wouldn't have picked that one.
I loved it. I think it was that's probably one of my all-time favorite movies from this entire year. I think it was so good.
I really enjoyed it too. I at times it just felt like, to me, it was, I don't want to say odd, but it was, it bounced around a little too much for me. They spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen it. Going between the two, like the brothers and then also the main character, their names are slipping from me now. Going back and forth between them, like I knew the connection between them, what was going on. But I feel like if you knew nothing of that situation, if you knew nothing of that time, you could get a little lost. So I just thought the execution was just a little, just a tiny bit off. And yeah, I don't know. It just, again, it's far from bad. I just remember thinking like, oh, okay, like that.
You know, I will respectfully disagree. I actually liked the way that it hopped because I think it helped fuel the storyline, just at least for me, because I think, you know, eventually you get to a place where the courtroom scenes are like so heavy and like you are on the edge of your seat and you cannot get enough. But I think towards the beginning, you can feel like, okay, like how long are we going to be in this courtroom for? Maybe how long is the story going to carry on for? So I think there were times where the courtroom scenes felt like they dragged a bit. And so I loved that they were able to jump. You know, they did a great job, in my opinion, of having Sacha Baron Cohen's character, Abby, tell a lot of the story from his vantage point via stand up, and they would jump back forth from that. And then sometimes they would show the actual events as if they're hopping back in the past. So I actually really liked the juxtaposition on how they chose to tell the story. I think it helped carry it along, helped it flow. But I really liked Promising Young Woman as well. Best screenplay, I'm not necessarily sure. I mean, I think it was a great movie. It's great femme fatale. I talked about it in a previous episode, but I can't say with complete certainty. When I think of best screenplay, I just think of really, really stellar writing. And I think as far as Promising Young Woman is concerned, it was a great movie, but I just feel like in terms of originality, it just kind of feels like that role of that femme fatale. I'm here for it, but it just didn't feel uber original to me. I did not watch The Father or Nomadland, so I do not have a leg to stand on, unfortunately, for them. But I am happy with the choice of The Trial of Chicago 7.
Totally fair. Like I said, I don't think The Father is out. When I was looking through this a couple weeks ago, I'm like, oh, what's nominated? You know, what have I not seen? I knew of The Father. And that it was a movie, but I didn't know like was it on a streaming service? Is it coming out? When I looked it up, it told me that in my area, I live in Michigan, that the first showtime was March 12th. So I don't know, which that's a whole other thing. That's a pet peeve for me when like a movie, like this situation, like if you're going to show this award show to the general public, but you know, they don't have access to all these films, and it's kind of like, oh
yeah,
great. And like, that's a huge, like that's nominated for a number of things too. So
I mean, I can trust in Anthony Hopkins because I absolutely love him. He's in like my all time favorite movie. So I trust in him. I can't say with complete certainty that I like The Father. I think it's, if I'm correct, it's about, he has dementia, I believe, if that's what I gather from the trailer. It's kind of about his relationship with his kids. So, I mean, it's definitely worth watching, but probably need to grab some tissues, I would say.
Probably.
All right, so let's move on, and we will try to roll through these last few. So we've got Best Actor in a Supporting Role in Motion Picture. We have Sacha Baron Cohen for The Trial of the Chicago 7, Daniel Kaluuya for Judas and the Black Messiah, Jared Leto, The Little Things, Bill Murray, your favorite actor, On the Rocks, and Leslie Odom Jr. for One Night in Miami. And this went to Daniel Kaluuya. I have got to say that I fully agreed with this choice. I loved him in this movie. I loved the movie first and foremost. I think it was a really important movie, but I think that they also did a phenomenal job of making it entertaining. So it didn't feel like I was watching, you know, like a made for school kind of like movie that you know, your teacher would like wheel out a TV and make you watch something while you're sitting in class. Like it didn't feel like that. It felt, you know, it was educational, and you know, I'm embarrassed to say that there's a lot about this story that I didn't know, and so it was, you know, really impactful for me to watch it, and I had a big reaction. You know, it was very emotional to watch, but I loved it. But and like I said, but all of those things, but it was also like just a good movie.
Totally fair. I just want to hear you laugh. I thought, even though I didn't see it, that Sacha Baron Cohen was going to run away with this one.
Yeah.
From what I could see.
Yeah.
Yeah. From what I can see of my friends who saw this movie, they were not disappointed in Borat 2. It, you know, was everything they wanted it to be. And I mean, as much as I don't like that film or that, you know, type of comedy or whatever, he owns that. So like,
he was nominated for this. This is for supporting. So he was nominated for his role as Abby in The Trial of Chicago 7 for this. So he was nominated for a lot. But
there you go. Thank you for clearing that up, actually. I was about to say, this doesn't make sense because wasn't he the main person? And I actually forgot. I didn't know that until after I saw it. I think I looked it up. I'm like, who is that guy? Is that guy a real comedian? Like, who is that? I'm like, oh my God, that's such a big one. That's crazy.
He's in a lot. He was in Les Miserables, and he was in the Sweeney Todd. He's in surprisingly a lot of things. The one with the Ricky Bobby movie with Will Ferrell. He sneaks in a lot of stuff, and he's a great actor.
He is. But Daniel Kaluuya, I can't say enough about him. I love him as an actor. I feel like he's still, at least for me, I feel like I only have seen, you know, a scratch of the surface of his film, of his work, but I've loved everything he's been in. So I'm really, really happy to see him win and get some recognition. Judas and the Black Messiah is a movie that I had high hopes for. I was a little disappointed. Him getting Best Supporting Role for the main, the quote unquote main character of that movie is like kind of why I had issue with that movie. I personally, you know, you were saying you don't want it to feel like a roll in of like school where you're like, you're rolling in the TV and they're going to watch this movie today. I don't want that feeling either, but I want it to be educational. And I think most people, the general public, know nothing of Fred Hampton, how young he was, what he was trying to do. And I've talked to some people who've seen the movie, and I asked them, so do you have a better understanding of who Fred Hampton was? They're like, yeah, he was in the Black Panthers. I'm like, yeah, but like, you know, more than that, what are some of the things he did and anything like that? And, you know, they can't tell you that. And I think that in most movies, they'll be able to tell you a couple of things. I'm not saying you need to be able to write a book about him, but they'll tell you something a little bit more than more or less the obvious. And I feel like that they kind of scratched the surface with Fred Hampton. And I agree 100%. They were going for an entertaining movie and they nailed that. I thought like Lakeith Stanfield was perfect in it. I thought him and Daniel Kaluuya were two perfect casting choices. And I definitely left that movie entertained. But I always feel like in situations where you don't know too much about the person, that whoever's, you know, putting this movie on has like a responsibility to make sure that there's a certain level of education that's there. And I think they just fell short of that. I think they're, yeah, to your point, it was a lot more entertaining than it was educational.
I can appreciate that. So I wanted to read up on Fred Hampton just based on the name. So I am a Christian. So I was looking at just the title in general, was like, okay, I don't want to say I'm offended, because I'm not offended that they're referring to someone as a Black Messiah. It doesn't offend me, but I want to understand it. And, you know, I think if I can understand why, because from what I had gathered, they call him that in the movie. And from what I read up on, you know, it's pretty on point with a lot of, you know, historical events that happened with respect to Fred Hampton's journey. And so I wanted to read up on that. And so I actually, you know, was able to find out about like the Rainbow Coalition and a lot of the work that he was doing just from researching it. So hopefully that sparked, you know, just watching the movie kind of like sparked that fever of being like, I want to understand more about this guy. And so, I mean, I can completely appreciate that, because not everybody's going to want to whip out their phone and Wikipedia Fred Hampton, but I did. And it made me feel, I got to say, like really comfortable. You know, again, I say this on my podcast where I'm just like, Jesus is my Messiah, but I like really appreciated why he was given that title, because he really believed in leading with peace and love, and that was really the way to do it. And not just about Black power, but power to like just people in general. Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's really powerful and really great. And I think that I loved that I loved it. And I loved that they portrayed Bill O'Neill's character in kind of a very like Judas adjacent role, where he, you know, kind of believed in Fred Hampton, but chose, you know, to service himself over his leader. So I think I really, really liked it. I liked, moving on to the couple of others and then we'll keep going, but I liked Jared Leto and The Little Things. I thought he was great. I love Leslie Odom Jr. And I love Sacha Baron Cohen, but I just think Daniel's performance was too stellar not to recognize.
I agree 100%. And also I'd like to take this moment to recognize that you did not say Bill Murray.
Oh my gosh, I didn't. Wait, I didn't see.
So you basically hit Groundhog Day. That's the conclusion I'm coming to.
I love Bill Murray. I do love Bill Murray. I did not see On the Rocks, though. I have to say, I did not see that movie.
I heard it got bad reviews, so I kind of skipped it. But that was another movie that was on my list. I was like, I'll watch it, and then I didn't.
All right. So let's move on to Best Actress. So this is Best Actress in a Supporting Role. So we've got Glenn Close, Hillbilly Elegy, Olivia Colman, the father, Jodie Foster, the Mediterranean, Amanda Seyfried, Mank, and then Helena Zengel, News of the World, and Jodie Foster won with that one. I clearly did not see this movie. You'd imagine if I watched it that at some point they probably pronounce it. But just as Anthony Hopkins is in my all-time favorite movie, as is Jodie Foster. So I got to say, I can't think of a single movie she is in that I don't like. So I this has to be put on my list at some point for sure.
Hey, yeah, I'm right there with you. I didn't see, I think I saw Mank, and that was the only one from this category. News of the World, I had every intention of seeing, and it didn't happen. The Father isn't out yet. Hillbilly Elegy, I heard terrible things about, and I hate being that person. I really do. Where like, that's why I usually don't write or I don't read reviews before I see something, because this will happen where like, this could be the best movie of all time. But I heard from my friends, the first three or four people were like, I don't know. It didn't do it for me. And I have a long watch list. So I'm like, okay, well, if it's not that good and I know that, then I'll just move on to something else. But I agree 100% with you. this kind of reminds me, I don't know if you're a sports person, but this reminds me of like in basketball, there's Duke. In football, there's like Alabama or USC. No matter how good or bad they are, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt. And they usually deserve it. Even when they're not good, it's still everyone else is pretty damn good. So Jodie Foster has earned that respect. And I have no doubt that she probably put on a great performance. We were talking about how casual, you know, this award show was. I loved her like acceptance speech with her partner and her wife and everything. It was so cool. So way to go, Jodie.
I'm down with everything you just said, except for Duke, because I, if you can remember, live in Kentucky. They're our arch nemesis. To be fair, we have not had the best season, so you can get a free pass with that one. Okay, and I'm not really like a fighter with sports, but I can give that to you. All right, so best actor. So this is the main event, the last three. So we've got Sacha Baron Cohen in Borat, subsequent movie film, James Corden, The Prom, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Hamilton, Dev Patel, The Personal History of David Copperfield, and Andy Samberg, Palm Springs. And your favorite, your second favorite actor, Sacha Baron Cohen, won for Borat. Again. I'm mad about this. If I had to pick my own, I would have picked Lin-Manuel Miranda for Hamilton, because I just think that was such a revolutionary way to introduce a musical to film. And I think Lin-Manuel Miranda's performance was just so on point. But I like the Borat movies. I think he does such a funny job of highlighting. He like does an amazing job of highlighting kind of like our, like the American state. And, you know, in the first one, it's kind of shortly. Yeah. George Bush is still the president, George W. Bush, I should say. And he, you know, there's like one scene where he goes out into like, it's like a rodeo or a monster truck rally or something. And he's like, "We support your war in Iraq. May George Bush drink the blood of every man, woman, and child living in Iraq." And then he was all these Americans like, "Yes, absolutely, like, get him." And they're screaming, like, just in such excitement for that. And so that kind of, for that movie, then the second one, this particular one that he won for, is much more, when it was filmed, it was kind of in the crux of the Me Too movement. So it's really more about his daughter and kind of exposing her to kind of the American condition with respect to women at the time. So I think it's funny. I think it, you know, it's the humor is at expense of other people. So that's, you know, not everybody's down for that, but in fairness, they kind of dig their own grave. You know what I mean? His acceptance speech. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Absolutely amazing. Like him thinking, so since you didn't see it, I will very briefly describe that to you. So the premise of the movie is that Borat is trying to get back on the good graces of Kazakhstan. So he thinks in order to do that, he has to first get back on the good graces of America. And so he decides to take his daughter with him to America and present her as a present to Vice President Mike Pence. And he attempts to go to a Trump rally and he is like immediately kicked out. So he can hardly get through the door. And so he decides to move on to somebody different. And so he decides now he's going to present his daughter as a gift to Rudy Giuliani. And so they meet and she interviews him and he's at first like very kind, and very gracious. He's like, you know, he's sensing that she's a little nervous. He's like, "You're doing a great job. You're doing a wonderful job." Well, then all of a sudden because they're in like a sitting room of like inside of a hotel room. And then they go through a door together. Like he leads her through this door to the bed and gets down on the bed and lays down and unzips his pants. And you're thinking while you're watching this, like, we shouldn't be watching this. What is about to happen right now? Like, this is not okay, because the actress is in her 20s, but she's being presented as a 15-year-old. And so you're like, this is not okay. And then all of a sudden Borat comes bursting in and he's like, "She's only 15. She's 15. She's way too old for you." And like rips her out and then they run away together. But then you think, like, what would have happened if, like, that's not okay. And then he came out, Rudy Giuliani came out with a statement that was like, this whole thing was taken way out of context. Like, I was just adjusting myself and it's all fine. And I'm going to pull on to the words that my mother taught me when she was preparing me for college, which was, Lizzie, sometimes the way that it looks is just as important as what it is. And I'm going to throw that in Rudy's face with this one, because even if you were adjusting yourself, leading a young woman into your bedroom and unzipping your pants isn't a good look for you. So I think this movie was absolutely hilarious. But I think Hamilton was more deserving.
Just listening to that, just the whole thing.
You gotta watch
that movie.
Pee-wee Herman, you will love Borat.
Oh, you know, that's a damn good point. Oh man, I think you got me there. All right, you know what? I'm gonna watch one and two just for you. I'm gonna tag you in my reviews too. I'm gonna do something, but you're gonna be tied to this.
Do it.
I respect Sacha Baron Cohen's performance in these movies, so I would understand why he wins. And I thought his acceptance speech and stuff was hilarious. I'm actually one of those people, I'm on the fence if I think Hamilton should be a Golden Globe fair nomination for this or not. I love Hamilton. I was moved by that. I was actually watching scenes from it earlier today. I'm in love with that musical. If it wasn't so long, I'd probably watch it again. I really want to see it live. I don't know if that'll ever happen.
Oh, I know.
But if I was the person, if I had no problems with it, I think he should have won in the landslide. I thought that. But I will say one thing. I think that it's hard for me to separate him as, you know, Alexander Hamilton and Lin-Manuel Miranda, who put this whole thing together. Because when I watched this, I was like, yo, I remember years ago, my wife was telling me, like, there was some picture of him meeting the Obamas and how he said, yeah, I'm doing like this hip hop musical about Alexander Hamilton. They're like, okay, good luck. And I remember laughing about that. And then now I see this, I'm like, holy crap, that was like beautiful. I love that. Like I said, I was moved by that. So I think he deserves all the respect in the world. But to his downfall, he has some amazing cast people in that movie, and I don't know if he's the best. So it's I don't know, it's tough. But I agree with everything you said. I think Sacha Baron Cohen deserved it. I think it was kind of them too. But yeah, I'm still on the fence about this.
You know, maybe to your point, Leslie Adam Jr. actually won, because he and Lin-Manuel Miranda were both nominated for Tonys for Best Actor, and Leslie Adam Jr. won the Tony. And I do have to agree, if you're comparing the performance of Aaron Burr versus Alexander Hamilton, I think, to me, Leslie Odom Jr. was unparalleled. I think his performance as Aaron Burr was so stellar.
It's fantastic. It's so good.
All right, so last two, we've got Best Motion Picture Drama. We have The Father, Mank, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, and The Trial of the Chicago 7, and Nomadland 1. Now that, as I said before, I did not see it, but I can understand why this movie probably won, because the Academy, or the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, I should say, loves Frances McDormand. I feel like anything she is in, she's going to win a Golden Globe for. And I understand it, because she's charming. Like, she has this twinkle to her. Like, I remember seeing her for the first time in Fargo, and she just, you know, she's not, you don't look at her and feel like she's not unattractive, but you don't look at her and feel like she's oozing of, you know, sex appeal, but there's something about her that is so charming that you just can't look away. It's just, I really, really love her as an actress. So I get the appeal. Like I said before, all I'll say on this one is that my favorite movie this award season was The Trial of Chicago 7. I haven't seen Nomadland, so perhaps that makes me biased, but that's where I stand.
I didn't see The Father because it's not out yet, but I saw Mank, I saw Promising Young Woman, I saw Chicago Trial 7, and I saw Nomadland, and I think they got it right with this one. I need to watch Mank again because I didn't get the appeal. I know actually there was a lot of mixed reviews on it, and I'm on that fence too, where I'm like, it's cool. It's like the old school film. I love that, you know, 1930s prime of Hollywood thing, but don't know if it's a great movie. I really liked Trial of Chicago 7. Promising Young Woman, I thought was good. It was really good. But Nomadland, I'll say that, like, when I go to movies, make me feel something. Make me feel inspired. Make me feel sad, you know, empathetic, sympathetic. Make me just don't, I shouldn't be in a theater or at home just watching people pretend on television. I felt something with Nomadland. The uncertainty, the loneliness, and that hits hard with me because I'm the kind of person, I hate being alone. Mm-hmm. I have a wide network of friends. I love hanging out with friends. I absolutely love my wife. I love my daughter. I love being around people. And I could feel that through this movie, the loneliness of her, you know, losing her husband and then mm-hmm. taking on this life. So from that alone, it was really simple for me that I thought for sure that this was going to win. I'm glad that it did.
I will absolutely have to give it a try. I'm right there with you. I want to be able to feel some kind of emotion. I'm all about character development. I have said it on almost every single one of my podcasts. So anything that's going to get me to really connect with what I'm watching and who I'm watching is really going to do it for me. All right. So let's move on to the last one. And that is Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. This was Borat, Subsequent Movie Film, Hamilton, Music, Palm Springs, and The Prom. And as we already discussed, Borat took this one. So I think we know where you stand on it, but we at least can feel good about knowing you're going to watch it. I have to say, so going through these, I did not watch Palm Springs, but I've seen every other one. I liked Music a lot. I think Music was really interesting. I thought it was really special how they were able to show Music's vantage point along with kind of more of the, you know, what was happening in real time versus how Music was able to perceive and process information. I think that was really like endearing and sweet and, you know, really interesting. You know, that movie was really controversial. It got a lot of like really, really mixed reviews, and I can appreciate why. The Prom did as well. You know, The Prom was originally written on Broadway specifically for actors and actresses that were kind of behind the scenes cast members. That was kind of the whole point, is they were supposed to be these like nobodies within Broadway that were just waiting for their comeuppance. And it was really controversial that Ryan Murphy decided to cast like these huge box office names, because it was like, well, that kind of defeats the entire purpose of, and then, you know, everybody that you talked to had an opinion about James Corden. I liked him in that role. I thought he was adorable. I couldn't get enough of it. I watched that movie with my husband and with my mom a second time, and I stan it. I like it. I don't think it deserved to win. I'm happy it didn't, but but as a movie, I thought it was darling. You know how I feel about Hamilton. I don't need to repeat myself, but I do think that in terms of, I'm not mad that Borat won. I kind of think it's hilarious that Borat was able to, we're just in such a different time. It just goes to show you, you know, because when the original Borat came out, you know, again, I'm saying like this movie is kind of taking a mirror to America and kind of showing you the condition of, you know, how we behave, how we treat people coming in, you know, that are from a different country. And that was not well received by critics. It was not like, people were angry that, you know, that felt like Sacha Baron Cohen was, you know, like a cheat for filming people in under false pretense. But now he's like applauded for it. So it's kind of hilarious seeing how much has changed.
So I'll go through each one really, really quickly. The Prom, I watched like the first 2 minutes of and I fell asleep. And then I know it's always it has nothing to do with the movie. I was tired and I'm like, oh yeah, this looks fine. Let me try this, and then I fell asleep. So that's in a reflection of the movie, but it's really hard for me to go back to films for some reason. Palm Springs, I am gonna rub in your face because I'm surprised you didn't see that, because it's Groundhog Day, the modern Groundhog Day.
No way! Oh my
god. It is. So
version where he like wakes up and like, I mean, imagine like Palm Springs isn't a bad place to be.
Yeah, so spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen it, he does that. He's at a wedding in Palm Springs. And he wakes up every day and goes through that whole thing. So I'm telling, look, you didn't see it because you know deep down that the concept is crazy and that Groundhog Day is an average movie. I'm just going to throw that out there. I told that to my friend, and she, had we been in the same place, I think I'd be dead right now because she was not happy with that.
That's hilarious. Maybe we'll have to reexamine my love for Bill Murray. I do have to say, this is a total off-topic side note. I watched the actual Groundhog Day ceremony this year, and I don't get it. I don't understand it. I know that that's not Bill Murray's fault, but I have to say it. Someone has to hear me say that I don't understand it. They take it so seriously. And then where are the women? Like, I can wear a top hat. Like, there's no women. It's just like a bunch of old white men. And you're just like, I don't understand the purpose of this secret society and this language that you speak between the groundhog. And I'm not here for it.
100%. I think it is weird. I think it's, I used to think it's kind of odd, but I'm like, oh, like it's historical. So like, you know, it's tradition. So it's acceptable. It's not, it's weird. I'm 100% backing you on this. Yeah. I watched it years ago. I used to kind of be into it because I hate winter. And like, I used to think like, I used to bet, please, not bet, like bet, please, like short winter. I want spring to be here. And even as a kid, I thought it was weird. I think it was this past year too. I don't know if I watched it live, but I watched a video of it. And the guy talking to the beaver, I thought was like, are we like, this guy needs help. This is really strange. But everyone loves it. And I'm right there with you on that.
It's not for me. So maybe, maybe subconsciously I'm shunning. I don't know. I can't say it because I love Bill Murray and I love Groundhog Day. But
you're not gonna fail.
But yeah, that it is what it is.
Yeah. So and one thing I will say this, and this is like, oh, this isn't overly insulting. When I watched music, and I watched it with my wife, and I was like, wait, who's the girl music? Who's that actress? I've seen her before. And she gave me her name, and she goes, yeah, she's in all Sia's music videos. She was in that MTV show Dance Moms. My wife loved that show. So I'm like, oh yeah. So like, I don't know her, but I know the face. Like, that's okay, cool. And I remember thinking like, oh wow, this is a really good performance. And to your point, like, you know, them taking you into her world was kind of interesting. But I didn't read any reviews beforehand. I just saw the Rotten Tomato score, but I didn't read any reviews and seeing how it was getting received. But the first thing I said 30 minutes into the movie, I'm like, people are going to hate this. This is not how people want this portrayed. I feel like I don't have a place for conversation, but I just know how other films have gone. And when, you know, this kind of, when you get to this touchy subject or this touchy topic, and I can see it going the opposite way. For people, regardless of how good this movie is, and that seems like how it's going. So,
yeah,
I get that, and I'm neutral to it because again, I don't have a place for conversation. I don't have any family members or friends who have that kind of condition or whatever. But I can understand how if it's portrayed on the screen, it's kind of like, I don't know if that's really accurate. Now people think it's accurate. I'm not a fan of that. So I totally got that. But I will say that movie felt like it was just an extended Sia music video, which,
well, I mean, it was
I'm not mad about it, but I mean, this is a movie. So yeah. As a movie, I'm not happy with it, but visually I'm like, oh, wow, this is really cool with the dancing and stuff. Like, I was with that. Yeah. Hamilton's amazing. I love every second of it. Again, I'm on the fence if it should be in there or not, but since it is, great. Borat, whatever, man.
You got to watch it. You really have to watch the first one for sure. And then, because you won't be able to appreciate the second, because there's so many references.
I'm gonna have to watch it again because I watched the first one when it came out. That's how I know I didn't like it. I was like, So I'm gonna rewatch the first one, and then I'll watch the second one, and then
So overall, do we feel like this was a good Globe season? Do you feel like? What do you feel like was your favorite movie this entire season?
Oh man, that's a great question. My favorite movie from this past year wasn't even in this discussion. It was Words on Bathroom Walls. Did you ever hear that movie?
Didn't know.
I'll have to, yeah, that was, I wrote a review about that. That was actually, it was a movie that, it was at my local theater, like a small theater. I went and seen it and like fell in love with it. I thought it was a really good movie. That was my favorite movie of the year. What I will say, but what I, of the films that are here, like, I don't know. I'm just looking at a couple where I feel like, man, any other year, I feel like you wouldn't have made it. I think there's a lot of movies that are going to be, you know, that got pushed that, you know, you took the spot of. The Prom, from what I did see, it didn't seem like amazing to me. That's when I think immediately, like, yeah, you probably would have got pushed. Music is another one. I think that would have got pushed with some of these other amazing, you know, films that were supposed to come out. So I think the performances were great. I look at, you know, the Daniel Kaluuya's, the Jodie Foster's, and all these other nominations. And that makes perfect sense. When I look at those, I think that, yeah, this is a pretty good year for film. But when I look at the actual movies and the ones I, you know, I did see, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, interesting that's really like one of the best in this category. So I don't say that in a way that I'm disappointed. I'm not. But I think that maybe not now, but we're going to look back on this year, especially considering that some of these movies just came out. We're going to look back and think like, oh, wow, that's a Golden Globe movie. Like, that's interesting.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. I've said already my favorite, which is The Trial of Chicago 7. I really enjoyed it as a movie so much. Second and last question. What movie, if you have one, that is coming out this year, is there anything that you are really looking forward to coming out this year?
Oh, man, there's a lot. Because 2020 was going to be a good year. I remember saying that to a lot of people. This week, Coming to America 2. Coming to America is in my top four movies of all time. Yes. So I'm interested to see where they're going to go with it. The trailer doesn't look overly promising, but Eddie Murphy is another one of those guys. Like I was saying with Jodie Foster, even you on your bad day is still better than most on their good day.
100%.
So, I'm just kind of curious where they take that world. That movie is just so funny. It's so great. A Quiet Place 2, that looks like it's going to be really good. I was really, really, entertained with the first one. So again, I'm really interested to see where they take that world. Those two off the top of my head are big ones. Another one that's coming out that like, I mean, I'm going to watch it, but I'm not expecting much. Space Jam 2. We'll see.
LeBron. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see where they take that. I feel like it's just going to be a mimic of the first and why even do it? If I want to see the first, I'll watch the first. I just kind of feel that you're going to redo it with LeBron James instead of Michael Jordan. But those three are the ones that I think, you know, off the top of my head are like, I'm really looking forward to. I will say that Mortal Kombat, I don't know if you're into video games, but that Mortal Kombat trailer.
My son and my husband are. My husband just bought like some game that houses every Nintendo 64 game. And so now we have access to everything and we have become obsessed as a family with Mario Party. And okay. it's just young enough that like my son can really grasp it. It's a lot easier than like Mario 64. He's not quite old enough to like actually understand like the general concept of the levels and the big picture of that game. Yeah. So Mario Party is like perfect. And so I'm not into fighting games, but I mean, like we were talking about earlier, we're like late 80s kids. So I don't really know. It's just kind of ingrained in me as a millennial to have that, you know, Mortal Kombat, bah, 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 bah. You know, it's just kind of, I think I'll have to see it just for nostalgia alone.
Yeah. And don't watch any of the previous ones. I was telling a buddy of mine who sent me the trailer that, you know, he was really excited about it. I'm like, you know, every Mortal Kombat movie that has come out before this has been bad.
It's trash.
Yeah. Doesn't do the series, doesn't do the game justice. But this, I'm not going to say I'm like overly excited about it. That's why it's not my top three, but it piqued my interest. My ears were moving a little bit. I was like, let's see where they do with this. And that comes out next month too. So we'll see. But yeah, there's it's still, you know, we're still feeling the effects of COVID too. I'm thinking of movies. I'm like, wait, did they push that to 2022? Like 007, No Time to Die, I believe it's called.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
I think that comes out in November, but honestly, I don't remember if it does or not. It got pushed so many times. They were really trying to hang on to that for a while, but now I have no idea when that comes out. So I think this year is going to be a good year for movies. I think it's going to be, we're going to get like bombarded with content. We kind of already are. I'm already having a hard time keeping up with stuff.
Hard to keep up. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I only have like a 2-hour window every day where I can watch a movie and like, when actually be able to process it. So I mean, it's hard to fit in. I mean, it really is. I mean, I think just looking at how much I didn't watch, even just within the Golden Globes, says it all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Do you and your husband watch a lot of the same movies?
Yes. Like that's like our love language is watching movies so cool. Together. We watch so much together. Like our favorite thing to do is at least one night a week, we will have like an at-home date night where we will order in food. And it's always like usually like the same kind of like round table, you know, like this last weekend we did like Buffalo Wild Wings and ordered that in. The kids are down and then we go down into our basement and we'll watch a movie together. And that is like how we connect with each other for sure. So we are huge, huge, huge movie people. My maid of honor actually said on our wedding day that she was relieved that I had finally found somebody that I could take to the movies willingly instead of having to drag her. Cause like, that's just been our thing. Like ever since we started dating.
Good for you.
Your wife. I think actually, hold on. I know the answer to this. I asked you this the last time that we spoke and you all, wait. I told you to watch Bridgerton with your wife. Did you watch Bridgerton? Have you all started it yet?
I did not because she started it without me, which kind of gives you an idea.
You got to watch it.
I'm going to watch it now, but I thought that'd be one that we could watch together. She's like, oh, I started that. I didn't like it. So no, I don't want to watch that.
Why did she like it?
I don't know, but she said it with like some gusto. So I don't know. It almost felt personal, whatever she said.
I think, you know what I think about Bridgerton is that you like a good book. You got to push through the first episode, possibly the second. It's like any good show when you're starting it fresh, it's like you just got to get through that like first little awkward phase where they're just trying to set up the story for you and then things really hit the ground running. You have to promise me that you will push her to watch it and you're not allowed to stop until at least to the fourth episode because that's when it gets super juicy. All right. So you really have got to, at least if you watch that fourth episode and you still think it sucks, then I will publicly apologize.
Publicly. I'm going to try, but I will tell you that I've already ruined that. Like we got to push through to the first or through the first and get to the second and third episode theory. I ruined it. And if I was a smarter man, I wouldn't have done it, but I wasted that on Black Mirror from Netflix, which I love.
Oh yeah.
I told her, amazing. Yeah, I'm like, just get to the first episode, the first couple episodes. When you get to like 3, 4 and you get into season 2, you'll love it. She took my word for it. She loved me enough to try it. And I remember we got to like the second season. She was like, never again.
I mean, Black Mirror, that's a hard one.
It is. It's 100% me. That was dumb on my part.
It's like an anthology series. Like every episode is a little different. So, and they're not all winners. I mean, I love Black Mirror, but they're not all, you know, shining doves. So right. I can appreciate why that maybe didn't work for her. Maybe you, I don't know, maybe get her like her favorite candy or something to like sweeten the moment to be like, listen, this is what we're going to do. And I made it a little easier. Like if it were my husband doing it for me, he would get me snow caps, like 100%. Cause that's like my favorite candy in the entire world. He would get, I know like no one likes it. Everyone hates snow caps, but it's like the best. It looks like kitty litter, but it tastes so good. And so he would get me snow caps and we would like, that's so like whatever her favorite candy is, you can be like, here's this, to soften the blow, but we're going to, this is what we're doing tonight.
I'm going to try it. I'm going to have to do this the hard way, but I think I'm going to take your advice. I think I'm going to get her some M&Ms and some, it's been really into Twizzlers lately. If I can get her some of those, she'll humor me for at least 4 episodes.
Yeah, you do.
Stay
it.
Stay tuned. I'll report back.
Yeah, for sure. Well, okay. So I think we are out of time. This has been so much fun. Chris, thank you for joining me. And I'm going to let both of us get some sleep.
Perfect. Awesome.
All right. Have a good night. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you. Take care.
All right, guys. So again, my guest was Chris, and he runs the Instagram account at Movies on the Regular. And again, a big shout out to Chris. Thank you so much for being my first guest. I'm so excited that we actually were able to successfully record this time. And everybody go check out his Instagram page. Soon he is going to be coming out with a podcast. And for those of you that enjoy this episode, I will be sure to let you know and update you when that is going live. And all right, guys, we did it. We're done. Thank you guys so much for staying tuned and sticking around with us. And again, a special thank you to Chris for joining me on today's episode. It would mean a lot if you would please rate, review, and subscribe. And I will see you all later.